For unto us, the broken, the poor, the sick, the addicted, the rejected, the possessed, and the imprisoned, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. For many of you, this is the most wonderful time of the year. Beginning with your bountiful Thanksgiving meals, you looked with great and delightful anticipation towards Christmas. The sights and sounds of Christmas give you a warm and wonderful feeling. You remember Christmas past, when you were a child, and how difficult it was to fall asleep on Christmas Eve, and how excited you were to get up in the morning and see what was under the tree. You remember the joyful and warm atmosphere in your home when you grew up and you aspired to create those positive feelings with your children and grandchildren. You may remember Christmases when your children were young and you made cookies with them and you put out hot cocoa for Santa Claus. Previous to COVID and perhaps even now, you look forward to enjoy the many parties and events that take place during this season. You may delight in the fact that wherever you turn, Christmas is the dominant theme. You may relish all the Christmas movies that come on TV and the fact that pretty much every show has a Christmas-oriented theme. You may be one of those people who like the fact that it is nearly impossible to listen to the radio without finding Christmas music. You may be one of those people who love this season, and the only major issue for you is the fact that you might eat a little too much, drink a little too much, and spend just a little bit too much money. If this describes you, then I think it is wonderful. You are fortunate. You ought to be thankful. If this is in this season you remember the warm and wonderful feelings of really positive relationships, I really wish for you the continuance of those feelings. If your main goal during this season is to duplicate those positive experiences for others, then I admire you. But not everybody has positive feelings about this season. For some of us, this season conjures up feelings of hurt and guilt and anxiety and pain. Not all of us come from loving, caring families. And for us, this season brings up memories of pain, not joy, of a rough, not smooth childhood. For those of us with eating disorders or alcoholism, the abundance of food and alcohol during this season is a challenge, to say the least. For many of us, Christmas reminds us of when we were in active addiction, or makes it impossible for us to continue on the short path of recovery that we've been on. This season is a tough one for those of us who have issues and difficulties making small talk and socializing. This season for some of us reminds us of how we shirked our responsibilities during our addiction, active addiction. This season reminds some of us of how we did not stand up as we should have and been as responsible as we should have when our mental illness was out of control. For many of us, this is the first Christmas we have with a loved one, without a loved one that we lost during this past year. For those of you who look towards this season with feelings of trepidation, I want to tell you, you are not alone. To those of you who see this time of year as something to get through, if for you this season makes you go into survival mode, I want you to know you are not defective, nor are you alone. To all my people on the edge, and you know who you are, and you know what I mean. Right now, I'm talking to all my brothers and sisters who have in the past or are now living on the edge. Whether you're on the edge of sanity, of sobriety, on the edge of society, on the edge of living itself, I want you to know that you are not alone. I want you to know that I am with you. St. James is with you. And most importantly, Jesus is with you. Jesus was born on the edge, and he lived on the edge. He hung out with people on the edge. He helped people that were on the edge, and he had major problems with those folks from the mainstream. One of the best kept secrets about Jesus is that people on the edge were his favorite people. Oh, he loved everybody, no doubt. But we were, those of us who live on the edge, were his favorite people. And the truth of the matter is, those who are not living on the edge have to go through us who are on the edge to reach Jesus. The gospel for this evening tells the story about the birth of the Christ child. The story, as told by Luke, tells us when, how, and where Jesus was born. But over the years, over the centuries, the story has really been forgotten and has indeed been distorted. I fear that the story has really lost its true meaning. It has become romanticized. It has become sanitized. The symbols and artistic renderings of the birth more closely resemble Hallmark than they do Luke. The stench, the blood, the noise, the poverty of the birth have been removed. What is left is a beautiful, tranquil scene, not the picture portrayed by Luke. A few years ago, Janice and I attended Christmas Eve services at one of the nation's greatest cathedrals. We were there early, so we had an opportunity to walk around the nave. They had a nativity scene that was absolutely gorgeous. All the pieces were impeccable. I think it even included gold leaf. The robes worn by the figures were beautiful and flowing. The looks on the faces of the figures were peaceful and angelic. I remember thinking to myself, this is not what it was like. Also in the nave was a creche, a perfectly created pillow of soft pine, and at the center of it was placed a blonde, white, peacefully sleeping baby. And that baby was wrapped in perfectly white, clean linens. These representations of the birth of Jesus were sanitized. They were romanticized. Many of us have beautiful and beloved nativity sets that we adorn our homes with during the Advent season. And I am no exception to that. However, there's an unintended consequence to them. They have aided in distorting the reality of what it must have been like in that barn that evening. We cannot forget the realities of the birth of Jesus. To do so is to distort and forget who Jesus really was and is. God did what he did with the birth of his son for reasons. God is God. He had choices in what he did. One would reasonably think that God would have his son, savior to the world, be born in some majestic or elegant or sacred place, a place appropriate for royalty, perhaps on a magnificent mountaintop, in the clouds, looking down on humanity. Or in a castle, safe and warm and surrounded by servants. Or maybe in a temple, surrounded by symbols and the scrolls of the holy. Or perhaps even in the inner sanctum of the temple, a place reserved for only the holiest of men. But no, Jesus, King of the Jews, was born in a barn, in the midst of animals, in the midst of the noises and the smells of barnyard animals. in a place where animals urinate and defecate, in an unsanitary place, a place devoid of any of the comforts that are afforded the privileged. And Mary and Joseph are forced to be in that barn because others came to town before them. Joseph and Mary were normal people looking for lodges, but by the time they arrived, all the lodging intended for humans had been taken, so they were destined to go to a barn. Like all people, they had to obey the call of the emperor to go to Judea and register, despite the fact that Mary was heavy with child. There were no exceptions made for Mary and Joseph. Mary gave birth to the Prince of Peace on a urine-soaked floor. And remember, it did not have to be this way. This was the Son of God Mary was giving birth to. God could have his child born anywhere he wanted to. God chose that barn for a reason. From the very beginning, Jesus' affiliation would be with the poor and the displaced, the oppressed. And who was with her? Every indication we have is that it was only Joseph. There were no attendants, no sorcerers, no midwives. None of the supporters we normally associate with the birth of people of wealth and importance. Only Mary and Joseph. How lonely and afraid they must have been. And Joseph, dear faithful Joseph, he was engaged to a woman he thought was a virgin, a reasonable expectation in first century Jewish world, and she comes up pregnant. Not only is she pregnant, but poor Joe knows the child ain't his. But Joseph manifests a phenomenal amount of faith and stays with Mary. He does not reject Mary, despite the fact that he would have been totally justified to do so. Now think about it. That would be a problem in 21st century secular society. A man accepting the pregnancy of his fiancée, knowing full well he is not the father. But can you imagine that same thing happening in first century Judaic culture? God is telling us something about faith and commitment by selecting a man, the nature of Joseph, to support Mary. And through the pain and the blood and the fear, the child is born and he is placed in a food trough, the container that holds foods for animals. But the place they eat from, the place that leftovers are put into, the place that cows slobber into, not a bed, not a perfectly constructed bed of soft pine, not a bed of white linen, but in an animal food rack, a container contaminated by the oral excretions of animals. And who is the first to be told of the birth of Emmanuel? Not the high priest. Who is first to be told of the fulfillment of prophecy? Not the chief Pharisee. Who is the first to be told of the birth of the King of Kings? Not the emperor. The first to be told are the shepherds, the lowly shepherds. The angel of the Lord appeared before the shepherd in the field, the men who worked by night, the third shift workers, the least privileged, the least prestigious of workers. By some accounts, they were even collectively despised by people. These shepherds lived in the desert, away from the sides. They lived on the edge. They lived a life devoid of the opportunities for hygiene. They were poor, uneducated, unclean, and unskilled. And yet, God sent his angels to them to bring them the news of great joy for all people. And those shepherds, those lowly shepherds were, except for Mary and Joseph, the first people to lay eyes on the Messiah. Can't you just see it? A carpenter A poor, unmarried teenage mother and dirty, smelly shepherds with barnyard animals behind them. That, my brothers and sisters, is a nativity scene. That is not the romanticized scene appropriate for a Hallmark card. When I think of the announcement of the birth of important babies in antiquity, I have men in images in their perfectly tailored tunics, blowing those long horns with the banners that come down, and blowing them to proclaim the birth. And then someone representing royalty, or perhaps the king himself, comes out and shouts the fact that the queen has had a baby and says the name of the child. Not so in the case of Jesus. Jesus' birth was announced to the world by those same lowly shepherds. And probably for the first time in their lives, those shepherds were listened to by people. The people recognized the profundity of their message. They were not ostracized. Those shepherds had voice. And even Mary seems to begin to understand the greatness of what she is participating in based upon what the shepherds had to say. She pondered their words in her heart. The story of Jesus' birth is consistent with the story of his short life. His relationships with the poor, the oppressed, the sick, the lame, the uneducated. His alienation from the educated, the religious, the royal, and the rich. The story of his birth is a story of turning everything upside down as they knew it then and as we tend to understand it now. The unimportant became important. Violating the rules became expected, even demanded. The unacceptable becomes the esteemed. Those looked down upon become the admired. The profane becomes the sacred. Those with no voice proclaim the greatest message. That is the story of the birth of Jesus. It is dirty and gritty and smelly and unsafe and unsanitary. It is also miraculous and beautiful and audacious and prophetic. To understand the birth narrative and to see it for what it really is to grasp some understanding of the message brought by Jesus. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who weep now, for they will laugh. Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous. I have come for the sinners. Amen.